The thrill of the hunt is not reserved for game hunters. More and more, chefs and people interested in eating locally have been employing what you might call forest-to-table tactics. We're talking about foraging, and my colleague Mike Johns recently accompanied one chef on his search for mushrooms.
One early November morning, I met up with Drew Baleen. He's the chef of restaurant 246 in Decatur. But instead of heading back into the kitchen, we head out the front door on our way to do some urban foraging.
A lot of what we're looking for today is going to be some different types of mushrooms. We're going to be looking for maitake, lion's mane, some oyster mushrooms.
So where are we walking to? I mean, we're in downtown Decatur right now.
I don't know if I can give away my secret spot.
That came as a little bit of a surprise. I mean, part of telling a story on the radio is setting a scene, and now I can't tell you where we are. But from Baleen's perspective, the perspective of a forager, if you know of a good spot where delicious food grows wild in the ground, you want to keep that to yourself. So we walked to a park in Decatur, Drew wearing a wicker basket on his back.
A lot of what we're looking for today, you tend to find on old growth oak trees that have exposed root systems.
Is this something that you've studied, or is this something that you've learned over the years of just doing it?
I've just kind of learned by doing it. I had a mentor, I still have a mentor, Ken Zincade. He's a local guy here, he kind of turned me onto it.
Ken Zincade has been growing and wild foraging gourmet mushrooms for restaurants in Atlanta for over 10 years.
We did a lot of spore printing, check and make sure we're eating safe mushrooms.
The spore printing that Drew mentioned is a way to identify fungi by the spores that they drop. It's kind of like taking a mushroom's fingerprint.
But the ones that we're looking for today, they're pretty easy to identify.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't recommend going out and just picking a bunch of mushrooms and eating them. Yeah.
He says he doesn't eat a mushroom unless he's 100% certain of what it is.
If I'm 99% sure, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to try and identify.
Now, ultimately, how do these mushrooms get used in the menu?
With the maitake, right now we've been doing a really nice wild maitake pizza. We've also been doing a maitake risotto with shaved alba white truffles.
Now, obviously with, we're on the hunt right now.
Right.
This isn't a terribly reliable source of food for the restaurant. How does it work?
It's sporadic with the seasons. It's like fishing, you know? You're not going to go out and catch something every time.
Drew says that you can tell the difference between wild mushrooms and farmed ones. Wild mushrooms are often bigger, meatier.
We've probably gone through close to 80 pounds of maitakes this year, which is kind of slow for maitake season. Usually we'll get some really big ones. We got one maitake this year that was 19 pounds, one mushroom.
Wow.
So they get really big.
So clearly what we're searching for isn't your typical, mushroom-shaped mushroom with the stem and the cap. Maitakes look a little bit like white coral. Baleen says that in the 12 years he's been cooking in Atlanta, he has seen other chefs' interest in foraging grow. He says it makes for a better food community. I ask him how he got into foraging, and he brings up his mentor, Ken Zincade. Baleen was working as a line cook at Bacchanalia.
Remember this guy walking in the back door with a brown bag full of wild Georgia chanterelles? And I was trying to kind of pick his brain, and he wouldn't give away too much information.
Again, the first rule of mushroom foraging, apparently, is that you do not talk about mushroom foraging. Drew eventually wore Ken down.
Every time I got a little bit more and a little bit more from him, till finally I was just out fishing one day and turned around, and there they were in the woods. So I picked them all. And then I had Ken come in, and he identified them as chanterelles. From that moment on, I was running in the woods, chasing mushrooms.
About 20 minutes into our walk, Baleen points out a tree down the path. The bare limbs at the top are a telltale sign of ill health. He says we'll probably find some mushrooms growing on it, and sure enough.
Oh, here we go. We got one.
Awesome.
See him back in there? So here, we got one. This is really cool. We got some reishi, these shelf mushrooms kind of coming up this tree. These have a lot of medicinal purposes as well.
It hasn't gone to spore yet, so it's nice and tender. I see some bugs on it.
So when you're trying to get in here, you're trying to kind of respect the mushroom too. I don't like to rip it out of the ground and destroy the mycelium that's already kind of growing up there.
If you think of a mushroom like a flower, the cap would be kind of like the bloom. Mycelium is the stem or the root that actually grows into the dirt. Drew uses a short knife to carefully cut the maitake away from the tree.
On it. That's kind of typical.
This one's kind of growing. I'm gonna leave some of this. See, I'm just kind of trimming off the stem now, trying to get rid of all this dirt while we can.
He carefully pares away at the underside of the roughly softball-sized mushroom before dropping it into his basket and turning back down the walking path.
It seems like in the last few years there's been more and more of an interest in cooking and eating, not only locally but seasonally. I don't know, what is it about that you find attractive or that you think is a better way to eat?
Oh, I just think it's the way that, not just here in Atlanta, but everywhere across the country, you know, we're just growing up, you know, our food culture is just growing up. And I like it, you know, just it really brings a sense of community to the restaurant, to the food, to everything that you're doing. And I don't see that movement changing at all.
For WABE, I'm Mike Johns.